You're not.
Hello?
Hi there, is it possible if I can please speak with a Mr. Duncan Crouse, please?
Can I ask who's speaking, please?
Yes, my name's Billy. I'm calling today from a company called MMA Legal regarding a Scottish redress claim. I believe I've just spoke with your three siblings. If I am correct, it's Laura, Alexis and Kelly regarding the claims in the care system.
Sure, yeah.
No problem, take your time.
Sorry, I'm just going to... I'm playing the computer. I'm just pausing the computer so I can talk to you.
Do not worry.
Yeah, that's all good, yes. We can go ahead.
So, in regards to yourself, I'll be the one that'll be dealing with the whole claim for you and your siblings throughout, and I will also add you onto WhatsApp so you've got direct contact there for me moving forward. I just need to take your personal details and get everything sent off into submission for you today. Is that okay with you, darling?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine, yeah.
Brilliant. So if I am correct, let me just have a look on here. Your sister's made me aware. Let me just have a look on here, because I'll go into your surname. I think you've got quite a lengthy name, you haven't you?
Duncan John Henry William Prowse.
Yes, John Henry William. Let me get that on here for you. And can I also ask you for your date of birth then, please, darling?
Yeah, it's the 15th of January, 1990.
January 1990. And is this the best mobile number for you if the line was to disconnect for any reason?
Yeah, it's so.
And what's your email address for me, darling?
It is... ProuseV4@gmail.com.
V4@gmail.com, perfect. So in regards to yourself, before we go any further, we're not going to be clutching at straws, be wasting your time and open a can of worms for no reason. You will be due back compensation. But if I am being straight to the point with you, it would be wrong for me to give you any direct values now because each case is individually different. Now, there's no cap on the claim. You could come out with 300,000, 400,000, but what we can tell you, what we are sure of, so we're not giving any false information, is that they will average at least 48,000, just so you've got something to look forward to. Is that okay with you, darling?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm not even bothered with money. I just think it's about time somebody stood up and took accountability for what...
Most
for,
definitely.
The way everyone went on, do you know what I mean? Like, me and my sisters have spoken about it in the past, but we didn't want to open up, as you say, the can of worms, because we all suffer from mental health due to it all, do you know what I mean?
Exactly that, and most importantly as well, it's some sort of justice for you, because like I say, no money is going to be any sort of justice of what you have had to deal with, but it's the only bit of justice we can get. We'll make sure we go for the top end of it, just to ensure that you can go and do something, treat yourself to a nice holiday, put it on a deposit or something, so you've got a good bit of a head start then, because
I want a ball.
This has had an impact. Do you know what? I've never had somebody that come out with an answer like that, but that is such a great answer, isn't it?
I was in the secret debts when I was younger and I wanted to join the Navy. But obviously, when I just came out of the care system, to be all happy, I ended up getting in trouble with the police when I was 17. So it held me back for the armed forces.
I'll get that down and held back from household forces, just because even things like that has affected you in your whole life. So I'm just going to make a note of that to include that onto your statement. Just get that down here. Just because it doesn't allow me to add any notes on until I've added the places and things like that. So I just have to jot them down so that way then I can make sure I include it, because every bit of information like that is definitely worth to add. Because like I say, any impact it's had on you then and now will all be included, and I'll go through everything with a fine-tooth comb for you. Can I just ask you for your current home postcode of where you're living at the moment, please, Dan?
Yeah, it's Kilo Alpha 4.
Yep.
7 Romeo Papa.
No problem. And is that U Tree Clubs?
No, it's Park Crescent, Dunmelton.
Did you say Kilo Alpha 4, 7 Romeo Papa?
No, Kilo Alpha 6.
Oh, Kilo Alpha 6, sorry. Let me just
I think I actually did see Kilo Alpha 4, sorry.
No problem. Is it Park Crescent in
there? Yeah, Dunmelton there, number 7.
Number 7, perfect. Let me just get that on the file for you. Could I also ask you, have you ever been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses or anything like that at all, darling, where you've been given a certain amount of time to live?
No.
No problem. So I understand you're healthy. But what we do require from you is a beneficiary. Now, a beneficiary is basically just somebody that I can put on the system that's over the age of 18. If the worst was to happen to you over the next few months while we're going, this payment would just go directly to them, so you know that you are getting some sort of justice. Now, if you anybody in mind that you would be happy for me to use as a beneficiary for you?
What? Sorry?
Beneficiary would be anybody. So anybody you've got over the age of 18, if you were to pass away whilst this claim's ongoing, the payment would just go directly to them, darling.
That would be my younger sister, Alexis.
Alexis, let me get that down. Alexis. Laura's used Alexis as well as her beneficiary.
She's the youngest baby manifesting it to go to her.
Let me just get it. I've got her number here, so I'll get it straight on the system for you as well. Just give me a few seconds. Alexis, I'll get Alexis's number there on the system for you. Now, with all your siblings' cases being together as well, the way that it works is I'll get your case submitted off today. It'll take about 14 days to stay, but you can get it back within four, and that will basically be your application number. Now, as soon as we get your application number back, that will give us full steam ahead, and so that will give us authorisation to go full steam ahead. And what we'll do is we approach all the local authorities, we approach all the councils, we approach everywhere, and we get provided with the information. As soon as we've got that information, we will then go from that, basically prove that he was within the places that we claim against today, and then it's your word what we discuss, which will basically make you a value, so we will not accept anything less than what you qualify for. Now, I'm not sure if anybody's ever explained to you, or if you've ever been able to get a copy of your own files back. Some people wouldn't even want to see that, but we will give you an option.
I know my younger sister, Alex, she got all hers a few years ago, but I just didn't really want to open the can of worms again. Just reading it all, do you know what I mean? I didn't want to go through all that. It just opens up old scars, doesn't it?
Which, again, I totally understand that. So I just want to give you the reassurance that if there's anything that you would ever want, we will always have it there. You don't need to make a decision right now. If you change your mind closer to the time, we will always be happy to give you a copy of them back, darling, okay?
Yeah.
Could I ask you, I am aware that you were placed in Dreghorn Children's Home, and then I am sure that you went to another foster family after there where you did feel...
As I was saying to my sister, Dreghorn Children's Home, when we were placed there, wasn't actually a children's home. It was a hostel for kids who were getting ready to leave care. It wasn't even a proper children's home when we first went in there. I'm sure there was a 16 or 17-year-old girl still living there. I'm pretty sure her name was Laura as well. When we first moved in, because I've got a booklet of photos, and it says on it Dreghorn Hostel.
Look at that.
It was classy a children's home, but it was a hostel. It was getting used for older children when we moved in there.
I've just got that noted down here, because like you say, having older children and younger children placed together anyway is not really acceptable, because obviously you have children. She might have been a fine 16-year-old lady, but you have
she was lovely, and she'd always go to the shop, but she would buy sweeties and stuff, but she was kind of kept away from us at the other side of the building.
Can I ask you as well, while she was in here, Sissy said earlier that he was also making fun often of you and obviously impacted you, she used to be in kind of travellers and things like that. Do you remember that?
Well, yeah, me and Alexis can. Like, I can remember them sitting at a table and they're treating us, teaching us English, basically, because we still spoke what we call the cant, which is a travel language. And they would say it's not penum, it's bread, do you know what I mean? It's not style, it's stop. Do you know what I mean? Like, actually getting to speak like properly.
And again, that's something that you've grown up with and you knew. They shouldn't have taken that away from you.
It hindered me when I left childcare. Well, not even when I left, like when I was 14, 15, I was allowed to go and visit my travelling family. And it caused a lot of fights and trouble because, obviously, I couldn't speak it anymore. So, I got slagged for it, do you mean? Got kind of ridiculed, like almost shunned because I couldn't speak the cant anymore. But I knew bits of it, but I couldn't hold a conversation anymore.
And of course that's going to have a mental impact on you as well, isn't it?
Well, it does, yeah. It drove a wedge between me and my cousins and my family for years. Because every time we were drinking, they'd be like, oh, you're not a traveller anymore, you're just a country boy, like, all that, like, and, like, travellers are lost in the world, but it's like, I was generally seen as a non-traveller, because I didn't grow up with them anymore, I got made to feel like I wasn't a traveller anymore. And I held on daily to that, like, being all the way through care, I've always been proud of my roots and where I've came from. But then, like, to be made feel that you're not one of your own kind anymore, because you've literally been told that that's not the way you're supposed to speak.
Do you ever remember in here whether there's any of the staff being nasty to you or calling you any names or singling you out for any reason?
No, not really, no. But, like, I can remember some staff members always, like, calling me stupid and, like, there was one certain staff member used to always call me fat and say I need to run more. And I can remember being slapped. A staff member when I was in Dreadcon slapped me around the back of the head. When I was young, I was must have been 9, 8, 9. I must have been 9 because it was on at the turn of the century. I can remember I can actually remember the situation. It was, we were all stood at the back and we had holes and a bit of paper so we could see the sole of the clips. And I was playing up a bit because, as I say, when I took it into care, like, my attitude and behaviour changed. Obviously, we're not really knowing what's going on and stuff. And I can't remember what I said and done something. And the staff member slapped me in the back of the head and told me to basically square up.
That's all we've done, and even putting hands on you and things like that, it's not exactly.
Yeah, I was restrained in Seaton Terrace children's home as well. And then Margaret and Gordon, I went to.
Do not worry at all. It's just with me, as it works on the system, we have to go place by place. It won't allow me to move.
I'm going to do right now is
get the impact that it's had on your mental health.
Yeah, well, I've been in Gartley, I've been in the mental hospital as well. Obviously not all to do with children's care stuff, but it's got a big part of it. I struggle a lot with suicidal thoughts.
Just because in regards to this, when we file it, I'm going to do it each and every one of them. So what I'll do is I'll include the impact that it's had on each and every time on each statement, just because we'll file each individual claim to all of these individual care homes. So let's just say we file it to the first one first for you, we'll file the second one over, and we'll individually add it that way, because back then it was unfortunate, but within the Scotland region, it was also happening in England, but it's just a bit different for the English cases at the moment. They don't actually make you eligible to claim down here as of yet. You have to be within the Church of England school to actually make a claim, just because the laws are totally different down here to what they are in Scotland. But we've already filed a claim to Scottish Redress and they've already started to pay out regarding these cases. But we have to individually do it for each and every care home, because you think about it, there's so many care homes where they were mistreating people back then. And it's an unfortunate money-making scheme that they had on people. They was constantly doing this to make money over and over and over again, and obviously be nasty to the children and hurt the children, so the children would rebel. And then that way, they could keep an ongoing cycle within them places. And unfortunately, your siblings have been a victim of that. And I'm very, very sorry that you have had to be positioned in here. Now, I understand after you left Dreghorn Children's Home, or hostel, as you would say.
You went to
a foster family, Isabel.
To a foster family, Brian and Isabel, But that was amazing. Like, that was honestly the best two. In my younger days, until I left childcare, that was the best 2 years of my life.
And every single one of you have said that, and I am sorry that you've obviously had to be through that situation, because, like I said, it's like the lightning
that only, coming that, yeah. That only broke down because Brian got cancer and died. So, like, it was amazing.
I believe Isabella fell a bit poorly at the time, didn't she? But even so, Margaret and Gordon just taking you on, snatching you off them just for a bit of money.
Well, Margaret and Gordon were... Like, they weren't really snatched off as, like, they started off as, they were Brian and Isabel's close friends, and they were our respite carers. So we were going to them through respite, me and you, Margaret and Gordon, and they agreed to keep us all together and take us on as foster kids. But as soon as we got with Margaret and Gordon, they were just evil. They didn't want us older kids at all. They just wanted they wanted kids they could mould. Do you know what I mean? But we was already being obviously travellers and then being into Dreadcon. Like by the time we got to Margaret and Gordon, we kind of knew how to play the system. Do you know what I mean? Like we knew what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and like we weren't going to do anything less than anything more than what we needed to do. And Margaret and Gordon, that was just hell for me. I only stayed there so long for my wee sister. Once Laura and Kelly left, they asked me and Lexi if they wanted to leave, and I really did want to leave, but I chose to stay because I didn't want to abandon my sister. And then I went to ice skating one weekend, and I was about 13, 14, and I was with my girlfriend, and I was giving her a cuddle from behind, and she moved my hands up right to her chest, and someone seen it, right? And even now, being a father, 36-year-old now, I've got a 15-year-old boy, I wouldn't be happy if my wee boy was like doing stuff like that in public, right?
Most definitely.
But it was all on top of clothes and everything. I mean, we were just messing about. Somebody seen it. But by the time I got home, my bedroom had been emptied and my mattress took off my bed. And got hungry to me and said, if you want to be a paedophile like your dad, I'll treat you like one. So for the rest of the weekend, I slept in my room just on the floor because he took the mattress. But you used to work in Kerlaw as well, and that's one of the worst homes up in Scotland.
Your sister explained this earlier to me, but of course it's not really easy for me to cross-reference what other people have said, just in case. There's some things you might not have wanted to have mentioned to me. And Kerlaw is one of the worst places that I've been mentioned from. Can I ask you, do you know what this guy was called? Oh, it was Gordon, wasn't it?
Gordon Campbell. And like Margaret Reed, she was something else as well, man. Like she was just more
Now you've just said her surname, I've already had another family, another child like yourself make a claim against these. I've already had Margaret Reed on here and I didn't realise that it's the same foster family.
She's exactly they got disbanded after a while. After we left and then they got somebody else, but like I'm pretty sure she lost her job in her school and everything, because she went from obviously foster care into working in schools. I'm not 100% sure, because obviously I didn't want any to do with them or the information from them, but they were horrible. Like I can remember like when being bad, like Gordon made me dig holes in the garden as well and bury all the rubbish just for being bad. Like digging 6 foot, like 6 foot by 6 foot holes in the garden just to bury rubbish. Just for being bad, and I didn't have a choice.
Would they ever restrain you in any way, shape, or form by holding you or anything, or telling you?
Yeah, Gordon used to hold me. They used to put his hand in my throat. He wouldn't squeeze it, but he put his arm in my throat. Gordon was a big lumpy guy. Do you know what I mean? And he used to drag me like. He used to just grab me and drag me into my room. And, very, very, more mentally abusive than anything. But when it did... 2 seconds. Mum, 2 seconds, Mum. 2 seconds. I'm on the phone to a woman. I'm on the phone. Sorry, Mum, I was just kidding.
Do not apologise whatsoever.
As I said, he used to restrain me all the time. By the time I went there and then when my sisters left... I'd had enough of them. I could see right through the facade that they had going on. They just
he's also being tormented there, I can imagine, and being
because they knew that I wanted to leave, because I had told my social worker I wanted to leave, and obviously Lexi being so young, she kind of at first she was an older girl and everyone, like she was going to church and like you name it, like dancing, but I just didn't want to.
And she did explain to me earlier that all she wanted was kind of to be like a family. She just didn't want to go back into the care system, and that was her biggest worry. And I think,
and that was my biggest worry, because obviously as soon as Laura and Kelly left, Laura went to McKellar Avenue and Kelly went to Oh, another one. Can't remember the name of the one Kelly went in, sorry. But I just knew they were going to spot us all up, and I didn't want me to go to a home and let you go to a different home, so I stayed. I stayed for as long as I could, and then, as I say, we went on holiday, and they took us to Spain and that, but the whole time on holiday, they're just not really nice people to be around about, like, just generally really nasty people.
And of course, like I said, you said you've had suicidal thoughts and things like that due to being in here.
Yeah. Yeah, Margaret Gordon more than anything, like, I'd say it was the biggest factor, obviously, because we were so close after losing Brian, and everything was lovely, and up until we moved in there, all my thoughts of Margaret and Gordon were just really good, like, because they were respite carers, and like they always tried.
And they're also friends of the family that you've been with previously, so you kind of have understanding that if they're nice to you, then the others are going to be all right with you at least.
Yeah, aye. Like, Gordon and Brian were good friends. I mean, fair play, I don't believe Brian ever worked in Kellogg or anything, but obviously being in the care system working, like, they knew each other and they were friends. So, like, back then, if Brian told me the sun shone at somebody's arse, I was going to believe him, because Brian never going to tell lies. Do you mean I still to this day believe Brian never lied to me once?
Which, like you say, you've got no reason to think that he actually did. So that should just give you reassurance that someone did give, that someone was faithful towards you. And like I say,
someone did
actually care about you. And it's just
Brian
a shame
Isabel,
the way that things have worked out.
Yeah. Brian and Isabel turned up just looking for one foster kid and ended up with four. So that just goes to show how.
And I bet they didn't make you feel any different about it.
No,
they didn't
not
make you feel like you wanted one of
yous
and not the rest of
yous,
and that's just
gives
you reassurance that there is some great people out there.
They turned up and seen the four of us all bonded it and was like, we can't separate these. Well, we'll take them all.
And that's the sort of people that should have been in the care system and that should be helping children back then.
Yeah.
Could I just ask you, if I am correct, because looking at your sister's account, she told me that yous was in Dreghorn from around 1998 till around about 2000. And yous went
from 1998 to 2000. And then Brian
went
to Bill.
Margaret.
So
and
Brian Isabel,
like
2000 to 2002,
and then Margaret and Gordon was 2002 for a while, and then did you go to Seaton Terrace with your sister at 2004, roughly?
I was in Seaton Terrace just before her. I moved out probably a year
at
before Lexi did. Yeah, I was about 13. I was at maybe Margaret and Gordon for about a year and a half, I think. And then I went to Seaton Terrace. No, I never actually saw him. When I left Margaret and Gordon, they put me in McKellar Avenue, the water, which was another home for older kids.
And was that okay while she was in there? Or did you feel any abuse or
mistreatment? No, not at all. Because when I first went in, I was sleeping on a sofa.
Could you spell that place for me, please, darling?
Oh, I'm just letting you. It's McKellar. I can get you the spelling.
Don't worry, at McKellar, I'll have a look. Let me have a look for you. What part of Scotland is it in?
McKellar Avenue. And I'll draw it.
Avenue. Have a look here for you. McKellar. Perfect. Got it there. Let me just get that for you. McKellar Avenue. And was that a children's home, did you say, darling?
Yeah, it was basically like a hostel. It was for older kids again. My sister Laura was in there because she was getting to the age where obviously like moving on and stuff, and they put me in there. There was nowhere else for me, and they put me in there initially on a sofa, and then I was on a mattress on the floor for months. But while I was in there, I was beaten by one of the neighbours from from round the corner from the home. He'd been given false information. The man actually came around and apologised after it. But I walked outside the gate and he just came running at me, and he beat me up with a pick shaft.
A pick shaft?
With a pick shaft, yeah.
Can I just get that on here for you? Just give me 2 seconds. Why is it not allowing me to remove this and put Matt Keller in? Just give me 2 seconds, Alan. Sorry about that.
No bother.
Matt at them. Never trying as well. Save and save it. Let me just see if that will let me change it over now. It's not allowing me to do so. Just give me 2 seconds to refresh the system, darling. Just trying to get this on the system. It's not changing over from the Carrie's place, but if not, I'll just add a new one. Let me just do it here for you. Mac. Trevor. Brilliant. So you arrived at Mac Keller, and when did anybody settle you in here or give you any empathy or anything like that, or let you know that anything was going to be okay?
Well, not really, no. But obviously, I went to the panel through the day, and obviously, I said, like, at first, I was playing it off, and then I was like, do you know what? I'm going to have to be honest. I can't go back there. I don't want to go back there. So I was picked basically from the panel by my social worker, and we drove a bit for a couple of hours, and then I was taken straight to McKellen Avenue.
And can I ask you, was you kind of secluded in your bedroom there, or did you get to share with any of the other children or anything like
no,
that?
No, it wasn't even a bedroom. It was the second living room I was in. It wasn't even a designated bedroom. It was a living room I was sleeping in.
And was you sharing it with any other children or anything, darling?
No, I didn't have to share it with anyone else, no.
Did they ever keep you locked in there as a punishment or anything?
Yeah, there was times when I was sent to my room, but obviously as a punishment, was I wasn't allowed to leave like the home itself. Like when they grounded you were grounded for a whole day, and you weren't allowed to leave the home. You weren't allowed to go out. You weren't allowed to go with your mates or anything.
That was a neighbour. You said earlier the neighbour had attacked.
Yeah.
And what was it he attacked you with, darling? Could you say that again?
Was it a pitch? Yeah, it was a pitch shaft.
Can I ask you here, did the staff ever be boisterous towards you, or was he ever be forceful, ever laying the hands on you or restrain you again?
Yeah, I was restrained a few times, yeah, because obviously when we'd been younger, my sister been older, like we classed when I went to McKellar Avenue, and we used to fight all the time, and I got a tooth knocked out by a plate.
Off your sister?
Yeah, it was
sorry
bad,
to hear that.
Laura Ann, yeah. But we were fighting, don't get me wrong, I had a golf club in my hand, so it was the plate again. It was weapon against the weapon, right? But we were just young, and like obviously the way I seen it in my eyes, I thought it was like she felt like her going to McKellar Avenue getting it. It was like not like 3 of us, but when me coming up again, it was more like, I don't know, like more stressful or whatever it was, right? So we used to fight and argue all the time, and she knocked my tooth out with a plate, but I never got took to the dentist with that, and I got restrained and put in my room, but I was kept in my room for probably 10 hours that day. Like I was put in my room for like it was the rest of that day until the next day.
And not only that, you and your siblings being there fighting each other in the most politest way can say to you, you're going to take things out on the people that you love and the people that you trust.
Yeah, you always do. You always take it out on the people closest to you. Yeah.
Can I ask you here, you said that did food and things always be an option here, or would, if you was ever not eating on a certain time, would they say you wasn't getting food for the rest of that day or anything like that?
McKellar Avenue, yes, because like the kids in there were making their own food, like the older kids, they were like making their own dinner. So if I wasn't in after school, like for dinner time, there was no meal made. Like, I'd settle with, I can remember a few times having to ask my sister how to make like simple things like noodles and stuff. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So I was they treat me like I was an older kid, even though I was only 13. Like, they just expect me to just get on with it and just do what everyone else was doing. And like, in hindsight now, like it did help me in a way, that being able to fend for myself kind of thing, but. It still helped me back. It still helped me back in the sense of like I was still obviously grieving. It was only a year since Brian died, and I didn't know how to do anything for myself. I didn't even know how to tidy a bedroom. But do you know what I mean? Like, and then having to fend for myself, it just felt like I was in a sense like. See, I've been homeless before, right? After care, so like it kind of makes you feel that helpless way. Like, everyone's around you, but you've nowhere to turn.
Sorry to hear that.
Like, if it wasn't for the actual social workers themselves, like, they were... All our social workers were lovely.
And so you felt like you had trust in the social workers?
Yeah, I had trust in my social worker, yeah, Keith Simmons. She was absolutely amazing. When she took over my case, like she became mine and Lexi's social worker. She couldn't do enough for us. And I don't get me wrong, like 90% of the staff members were all right. Like the ones that actually were there to help us. But as we touched on before, there were so many people in there who just thrived on keeping kids in care and keeping us rebellious.
How long would you say that you was at McKellar for, roughly?
It was a few months. I moved into Seaton Terrace when I was still 13. So, there was another thing that happened in McKellar Avenue. I got a cut in my wrist, right? Sorry, while I was in there. I got a slot in my wrist, and I went home to the home, and I told them that I'd cut myself in the... They checked it over, but they deemed it wasn't serious enough to like drag me to the hospital at night. So I went to bed, obviously drunk. I didn't tell them I was drunk, obviously, but they must have known because I was very inebriated. And they let me go to sleep, and I got up in the morning, and I felt weak. Like I think I'd lost like a pint of blood or something, and they took me, just flew me up to the hospital. And I ended up having like an operation on my wrist. And I had glass stuck in my wrist. But the night before, they refused the staff member that was on call, like on shift.
Again, not acceptable. And things like that, they will always have hospital records where we can back that up. And again, that's not acceptable whatsoever that they've actually done that. Anything could have happened to you that night, and even still, even if it's there and they can see it, they're not ones to determine whether it's bad enough or not. If you're in pain, and of course you've got
I was bleeding profusely. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had a scarf wrapped around it when I got back to the home, and obviously I said to him, like, I told him the truth. I said, look, I've tried to smash somebody's window, and I've tripped and I've fell. Because that was the thing with me. Like, I was rebellious and I did stuff, but when it came to it, like, I would always just tell the truth. It was easier. Do you mean, how'd you get hurt? Oh, I done it myself. Do you know what I mean? And I said to it, and it was more of a, oh, well, you shouldn't have been so fucking stupid. Like, you'll be fine, go to your bed. But I don't think
it's crap about being stupid. You're a young boy and you shouldn't have to be.
Yeah, I've had a pound for every time I get called stupid or that off staff members, I'd be rich, man.
And again, name calling and things like that stick with you for life. It's not something that you ever forget about. People grow up thinking and believing that because that's all they've been told.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, after here, you then got moved on to Seaton Terrace, is that correct?
Yeah, I moved into Seaton Terrace, And like scene service was no bad. It wasn't the best, but it was where I should be. Do you know what I mean? It was just yeah. my own age. And like they keep us on holiday and that, but it was more like, as I say, like it was in there, the staff member like kept calling me for it was my key worker, and I did go on well with him, but it was always like the small little jibs and jabs that came from him, do you know what I mean? And it was always, oh, you're fat, like why are you eating again? Like, oh, don't give him any more like biscuits and that. Like I was like banned from the locked the kitchen. From us, like we were meant to have access to it, but we couldn't get to the kitchen. And I remember on a few times, me and another boy who was in there, Kenneth McDowell, me and him figured out how to break into the kitchen. So, like with a card, like, you know, the yield locks, we figured out if you used a card, we could actually get into the kitchen so we could get food. Outside breakfast, lunch and dinner, like they locked the kitchen. Like I was only in there like maybe 3 months and they started locking the kitchen.
And can I ask you in here, were like when you was in this environment, was it quite nasty to be around in regards to the way they made you feel or the way they looked at you and the way they spoke to you and things like that?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah, because like it was more the female staff. Like, by the time I went to McKellar Avenue, I was 14, I was, like, slightly bigger, you know what I mean? Like, and I am a very big team. I mean, by the time I was 14, I was already 6 foot and maybe, like, 14 stone, so I can get how my size could be daunting for that.
It doesn't matter. No reason to single you out and make fun of you in any way, shape or form.
Yeah. And like, I can remember as well being in Seton Terrace on two occasions, two of the staff members, one called Kathy and the one called Isla. Like, Kathy actually got her husband and son to drop her off at work just so they could give me abuse. Like, I got threatened with people's family loads of times while I was in there. Me and Kathy didn't go on at all, and she used to threaten me with her husband all the time. To the point where if I seen his car outside, I would go outside if he was at home, or if I knew she was coming on at 2 o'clock, I'd make sure I was nowhere in the vicinity. I was actually petrified of her. I was scared to death of Kathy.
Can I ask you here, did they actually ever physically use any restraining force on you as well, darling? Like,
yeah, I was restrained a few times in Seton Terrace, yeah. Just through, obviously, fighting with other kids and stuff. I was restrained when I was drunk once as well. I came back drunk, and I was restrained. But, like, in Seton Terrace, like, if you'd done anything wrong, like, if they told you to clean your room and they told you twice, like, they would confiscate your pocket money and you would get your allowance. Like you were meant to get it every week, like, and the way they worked it went by your age, so if you were 4, you got £4, if you were 15, you got £15 a week. And there were numerous weeks where I never got it.
Get that on here. Can I also ask you as well, did you ever witness or receive any sort of sexual assault in here in any way, shape or form?
No.
No problem, let me just get that. And could I also ask you, did they ever let any of the other children pick on you or anything like that here, darling?
Aye, they did, yeah. Aye, there was a few times, like, obviously we've been clicky, like, Kathy used to get on there was two older lassies from Glasgow and Seton Terrace, and she got on well with them, and I used to fight with them all the time because of her. Like, but even if she wasn't on shift at the time, like, one of the lassies, Leanne, like, she came in, she'd be like, oh, fucking, what's this? You're starting the cat again. Like, and then I'd get threatened with her family from Glasgow as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, but now you're actually asking me all these questions. A lot went on, didn't it? Wow.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to make you go through this as well. I really am.
Just bringing back some old feelings, right? But it's, like, obviously...
Which is understandable.
Yeah, and obviously, when you go through it, like, you don't really realise at the time because it kind of becomes normality, doesn't it? And that shouldn't really be like that, but it kind of just got to, for me, it just got to the point where, as I touched on earlier, like,
yeah.
It became so normal that I just felt it wasn't right, but I was so used to it that it was like water off a duck's back. You know what I mean? It
yeah,
like,
again.
Oh, here we go again. I just
because you've known no better and you've known to brush that off. But really, when you do it and you think about it, that's something that's gonna have impacted you your whole life with them name calling and things like that.
Aye.
And it goes with you.
Yeah.
Do you suffer with trusting people or building relationships?
Yeah, aye, a hell of a lot, aye.
Get that down here for you.
Like, my confidence, I used to be really confident when I was younger. And, like, after the day, I was, like, when I left Seton Terrace, that was a bit of a shit show as well, because when I turned 15... Obviously, I wanted to move back. I was like, right, I'm leaving soon. I want to move in with my dad. And they put barriers in, like so many barriers in place. Rightly so, because my dad was a nice man. But obviously, being 15 and growing up, you always want to go back to your family if you can, don't you?
Most definitely, especially with everything that you've been through. You know that you're a lot safer at home than what you was within clean places.
So they put so many things in place. And as I say, like, I was unruly, but I done school and then I was in residential school and I done that away at school and then I done full time college, came out of college, got a job straight away, started 15, got a job in a garage, and I was at work one day and I was standing at the back and I can remember it, I was having a fag, and I got a phone call off of Stuart Crabb, who was my key worker, and he says, you need to go home, and I was like, why? And straight away I thought something was wrong. He says, they're moving it today, and I was like, what? He said, you've got a flat in town, you're moving it. And I knew nothing about it. Like, obviously, I knew that there was talks of it happening.
In play,
It basically just went from 2 minutes later, it just literally went from me being a child in care to me having my own house, like, overnight.
And again, some people would wish for that, but being flung straight into the deep end when you've not learnt certain things on your own and stuff like that, or having any
I expected them to send me to cooking classes and stuff, and like sit me down and teach me how to do bills and what to do if you're
even just wash your clothes and things like that.
Yeah, well, I knew how to do that. Obviously, when you turn like 15, 16, and Seton Terrace, like, as I say, it wasn't all bad. Like, they would let me cook because I knew how to cook. Like, they would let me do more, like, summer mowing, washing and that.
Yeah,
like,
and I
could go and get the cleaning products and clean my room. Do you know what I mean? So, in a sense, that was good. But it's more just the way they just flung me into the deep end with, like, the other things on life, all the small things that come into it, like, what do you do if you've got no money and your electric goes off? How do you contact the company?
Exactly, managing your money and
your fuses. All your fuses pop. Like, and I wasn't even in my house a couple of months, and all the young team for the area smashed all my house up when I wasn't there and spray painted all my house. And I got they blamed me for it and were trying to get me to pay for the damages, like through my wages. And to keep it under wraps so no one found out about it, they got Stuart Crabb, my key worker from the home, to go around and paint my house. He went round when I was at work and painted it.
And what painted it back to get the spray paint and things off your house?
Spray paint off, yeah, and fix the damages.
It's not acceptable even when you think you're getting on with your life and you're moving on with your life, and then still some things just knock you back, and you have to understand why this is happening to you. It's because they've made you victim of that.
Yeah, well, that happened, and then as soon as that happened, I was like, hey, I'm out of here, and my dad was like, well, you're out of care. I was still in the through care system, but like they were a shit show then. Through care I've got a lot to answer for as well, but I didn't really like deal with them a hell of a lot. Like, I was with them and they would offer me advice and stuff, but like I only found out today that my sister got my sister got money off the care system when she left. I never got any through care money or anything like that.
And again, you should have been given grants and things like that to move on with. You should have been given things like, fridges, white goods and stuff like that. You should have been
I had stuff like that. I had the white goods and stuff. But my sister got like a grant. My sister got money.
Like a decorating grant and things like that for a bit of help.
No, she got like actual money. I'm thinking, like, I think she got like a moving on grant kind of thing, like from when she was leaving through care, like once she was done with the process. I think she got a load of money, but I don't think I got that.
I think they just pick and choose the people that they want to be nice with as well, and actually pick and choose the people they want to have give a bit of guidance to leaving them places too.
Because it's definitely not acceptable, no, 100% no.
Because not only that, you've got your siblings that are being treated one kind of way and you're being treated another, and it's not like you're old enough to understand that. You're very young back then, and it's not fair. You're scratching your head wondering why you're being treated a certain kind of way and your sister's being treated another kind of way. It is totally unfortunate, and you shouldn't have had to been dealing with that in that any did, way, shape, or form.
I would say that did, like, some of the ways we were treated and some of the ways my siblings were treated did drive a wedge in between us, like getting separated and stuff like that, like Kelly and Laura seeing that.
And things like meeting up in other care homes and stuff like that, where you're obviously becoming and fighting each other.
As soon as Kelly and Laura moved out of Margaret and Gordon's, they were no longer allowed to come to see us at Margaret and Gordon's, and me and Lexi weren't allowed to go to McKellar Avenue or
Stepton Terrace.
We weren't allowed to go in there. I was allowed to go to the door and wait for her at the door, like, but it wasn't until I was actually in Seaton Terrace, actually in a children's home, that I was allowed in the home. Do you know what I mean? So it drove a wedge through us, like, while we were at Mark's
Because I don't know. They don't realise the emotional impact that it's going to have on you. You've gone so close, obviously being so tight knit family, and obviously growing up same because similar kind of ages and things like that as well. To all be passed all and go through it all together, to then be separated halfway down the line, and certain people get treated a certain way, and the other half been treated another way. It's not fair, and you shouldn't have had to deal with that. Now, what I'm going to do for you is I just submitted your case onto the portal today. So what I am going to do, which is very important, is Scottish Redress, as soon as they acknowledge that we are going to submit a claim for you, they will know that we're going full steam ahead, and they might call you and say we're going to pay you £1,000 within the first 24 hours now as an upfront payment. Now, I don't want you to be tricked into accepting that, because they will try, if they've got the option to pay you £100,000 or £1,000, they're going to try and pay out as fast as they can, and I don't want you to be tricked into that. Now, I do need to let you know, darling, that you can apply for this yourself without a solicitor, and you can instruct a solicitor who participates in government legal fee schemes where anything up to £2,000 is paid by the government, and you can instruct an independent service. Now, we work on no win, no fee, so if your case is unsuccessful for any reason, you will not be charged a single penny, and if the case is successful, at the very end, the legal team will take 20%. So, for an example, if you got £100,000 back, the solicitors would take £20,000 and you take £80,000. Is that okay with you, darling?
That's perfect, yeah.
No problem.
And as I say, I'm not even worried, like, obviously, anything's better than nothing, but I'm just more wanting it done, obviously, just for the justification of it all.
Which is understandable, and like I say, in the most professional way, that I didn't realise speaking with your siblings, because they didn't have the surnames to provide, but speaking about Gordon and his partner as well, when you were situated with them, I 100% wrote statements already regarding Margaret and Gordon, and somebody else has told me that Margaret had been convicted for it, and I believe Gordon's actually been convicted as well, if I am correct. Now, don't hold me to that, but in the most professional way, with them already going ahead and filing them complaints, and you filing the complaints as well, will just help strengthen their cases, and most importantly, it'll help strengthen your case as well. Working together throughout this, you speaking up is helping other people who've not even thought to come forward yet, and same way people who've already gone through with it have helped you. So we are going to make sure that we go full steam ahead with this. Now, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to password protect your account, So if anybody calls you and you are a bit unsure on who you're speaking to and you don't know the password or if it's actually us that you should be speaking to, all you need to do is say to them, what is my password? Now, if they don't know the password that we set with you today, just hang up the phone on them. And then if they are anybody important, you can call you straight back. Now,
Yeah.
I think I'm looking at your profile picture on WhatsApp, and I think, is that a Celtic top you're wearing?
I've got a Celtic top, mate.
Do you want me to pop your password as Celtic, then, and that way you'll be something that you won't forget?
Yeah, you can do, yeah.
No problem. Let me get it popped on there for you. My family, my mum's side, my granddad and my nana was all from Glasgow area growing up, so my nana was
nice.
A Celtic top.
I lived in Glasgow for 6 years there. I've just moved back to Ayrshire. I was up in Dumbarton.
I've not actually, I've been up when I was younger, we're based in Manchester, but my nana passed away a year and a half ago now, and her mum is buried up there, so I've not long passed my driving, so I'm planning on coming up in the summer, bringing my mum, seeing all my family, because all my family's up in the Glasgow area. But
that's
as I was
exactly.
just going to say to you, my nana was a Celtic fan and my granddad was a Rangers fan, so my first football top was a Rangers top.
Alexi's a diehard Rangers fan and I'm diehard Celtic, so we don't talk football.
Is she really? To be honest,
yes.
I wouldn't have used them as a password then. She used Rex, I think it was, for her password.
Rex, she's had Rex for like 13 years. Rex was her first baby.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah,
I wondered. That's a lovely name though, Rex. I've heard it recently, but I didn't think it would be something that she's had. It's quite a common name now, but previously it was never a common name. It is really, really nice and usual name.
Yeah, I like it, yeah.
So we've got this word of Celtic.
Celtic would be fine, yeah.
Have you got children?
Yeah, I've got a 15-year-old son, Brogan Jay. Well, we spelled
it. And you've only got the one?
Just the one. I lost her son years ago. My ex-wife. I don't know how much air pressure I'm spraying that toilet for her. my ex-partner, we lost a baby on Halloween. A few years ago, and then I've got another one that's meant to be mine, but he's got a dad. Do you know what I mean?
No, but even still, bringing him up, you class him as your own, don't you? I've got two younger siblings that my dad brings up as his own.
Yeah, I had five step kids and three step grandkids up until 2 years ago. So my ex-partner was like 14 years older than me.
But at least you know still, at least you've been around him. I bet your boy that's actually yours is spoiled rotten, isn't he, I bet?
Oh, yeah, my sister Kelly
can't have kids, so she spoils all the nieces and nephews to go in.
Bless her, I bet she does. Runs around ragged for a while, doesn't she, bless her?
Oh,
I'm staying with my siblings now. So all I need from you, darling, is I've just sent you a text message over to your mobile phone. Now, you would have had a text off me on WhatsApp too. The text that's come through to your mobile phone will be on your normal text, and it'll just have a little link for you to click on it. Would you be able to click on that link for me, darling? It should take you straight to the box.
It'll say signature.
And it'll ask for your signature in a big white box. If you can give it a squiggle with your finger for me the best way you possibly could, and press the big blue button next to me that says execute documents.
Execute all documents. Yeah.
See, I'm not saying this is rubbish, but it's always got the same little squiggle at the end.
To be honest with you, you're a lot better than some other people. Some people keep saying, I've only done a line. I'll say, that's fine if you're happy with me to use that because you've signed it. And like, it doesn't look like the signature. I say, it never looks like your signature, but to be honest with you. If you've got to do it with a pen and try and do something on an iPad, it's two totally different things, but at least we know it's come from you.
I used to work on an iPad, so I kind of used to.
A lot easier for you.
It's
a pain in the backside sometimes trying to ask the older generation to send a picture of their ID and things on WhatsApp, and they send the picture of the top corner, and it's like, please can you use put all four corners in the picture, and I just have to literally take a picture and just explain to them step by step how to take a photo. But if it takes me 10 years to get it over or 10 minutes, I don't mind. Each and every person is totally different.
I'm not really good with technology. I just figured out how to send an email. How to keep the email open and just like put all the replies on one email instead of having 10 different emails. Do you know what I mean? I didn't realise you could do that and just keep it all going at the bottom instead of just going on and having one email and another email, just attach it all at the bottom.
So what I need from you, darling, have you got anything like a driver's license or a passport or a
passport
or anything like that?
I've got a passport, I've got it handy.
Passport, perfect. So if you could open your passport like a book for me and take a full picture of both pages. And we also need a letter. It can be any letter. It just needs to be dated and registered to you in the last 3 months so we know it's you that's making the payment and you receiving the cheque. Scottish Redress will not respond to us without that. Now, a letter doesn't need to actually be a paper letter. It can be a screenshot offline if you need to be.
Yeah, 2 seconds. I'll grab a passport. Passport. 2 seconds. I might be able to go on to...
You can download a bill, you can download a bank statement, even if it's a universal credit statement. It just needs to show your name, address, and the date that the letter was sent to you.
Yeah, 2 seconds, I'll just go on my bank now.
Okay. You can cover up your important pieces of information, don't worry.
Yeah. And yeah, I heard you mention that you just passed your driving test. Well done.
Yeah, well, I passed, well, you say well done, but I got a car and then I get a bus 2 weeks after. My dad's stopped laughing at me ever since. But it was I kind of bought a car as a car and said, you know, like when you buy it and it's already been hit before and you replaced it. Don't ask me why I bought it like that. I was just jumping into it. And then I was behind a bus going to work and people behind me are beeping me, but I didn't have the confidence to go around the bus. But anyway, they're beeping me, so I started to go around it and I didn't give myself enough distance. So where the car had been hit previously just crumbled all down the side. And then I started crying. But they paid me out £1,000 more than what I actually paid for the vehicle, which wasn't bad, so then I could go buy another vehicle, and everything's been fine ever since, so hopefully it stays that way. But I am a bit of an anxious person, so sometimes I'll feel all right with it, and sometimes I'll overthink everything. Now it's getting the hill start stresses me out when it comes to a hill.
That's why, and it was hill starts that got me. That's why I moved from cars onto motorbikes.
My partner's just done the same thing. My partner is he's not past his driving yet. He's been trying, but it's been a bit of, he's not grasping it like I did. So he's just gone and done his CBC course and got a little, I think, is it a PCX or something like that?
A PCX 125,
Yeah, he's got one of them, you know, just to get from A to B, to get him to and from work for now. And then once he's obviously sorted himself out, he can start mastering his driving. But I said, just do automatic. I done manual, and I think it'd be a lot easier for him to just do automatic.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to do, but obviously, because I can drive a motorbike, but with cars, I can't really use a driver, really. Like, I want to be able to sit and just chill out, so automatic would be perfect for me.
Perfect.
Like,
I mean, I should have done that, to be honest with you. I've just messaged you on WhatsApp, so if you go onto WhatsApp for me...
I'm just on my banking app. I'm just trying to figure out how I get a statement.
Is it not letting you screenshot?
I can screenshot my address, yeah.
Has it got the address name? Let's send it over to me, what you screenshotted, and I'll see if they'll let me use them.
Right, 2 seconds. Oh, screenshot blocked for security. Fuck off.
I thought he was going to say that. Does it say download a statement anywhere to your email?
I'm just trying to see where it would be. Summary, saving address, borrow, homes, insure, regular payments.
Oh, do you have anything to your... Do you have, like, a council tax letter, or do you get anything like a gas bill or...
Nah, my mum deals with all that. I just moved back in with my mum to help her deal with it. She's obviously gone through cancer treatment.
I'm very sorry to hear that. Do you have anything like an NHS letter or anything like that on your phone on the NHS app?
I can
download the print. Cool. Yeah, perfect.
Please wait. There we go.
Yep.
107. Right. If I keep that open a second, come to WhatsApp, and then I'll just send the statement over.
Yes, please, yeah.
Right,
if you need me to read my number out to you, if you can't find it at the top, I'm happy to do that.
Is the company called just MMA Legal?
Yeah, and it's got my details on there as well for you.
Yeah. What's your name again, sorry?
My name's Billy Kern. If you look at the bottom of that message that I've sent you, my details are at the bottom. But this number, it's a mobile number, but the system's a mobile. So if you call free, you'll come straight through to me on the system, and it will connect you to my WhatsApp as well. So it'll only be me you'll get through to on this number, or you can call free to MMA Legal yourself for any updates. But I'll be on you like a rash with your updates anyway.
Great.
Sure.
Great. Open like a book with my face at the top with my signature on it.
Yeah,
so you can see it
please, darling.
There we go, sent that.
So, passport, perfect.
I'll just go back in here. I did just save the name and number so I can send you.
No problem, yeah. Save it as Billy Cohn, or save it as Billy Claim, and then that way you'll know that.
Yeah, I've saved it as Billy MMA. Billy MMA Legal, it says it above. It's obviously the last name, so it comes up as one. Right, so what did I do there? I've done that. I clicked that. Oh, some money's coming in my account today. Oh, I'll just figure out where that is. Once I've finished.
Click on the transaction when you're off the call, and it should tell you where it's directly come from and what time.
I've not been on to check my account today, but it just says it there. I looked at it and I was
super alive, to be honest. I
woke up there. I just realised there. I just looked at it and I was like, why is there only £140 in my account? There is bills due to come out, so it's all.
So my insurance come out today. I went to the notification. To be honest with you, when you're expecting it, it's fine, but when you totally forget about it and you wake up on a Monday morning and it's been taken straight out of your bank account, isn't going on, right?
Yeah.
Comes at once.
I had to wake up this morning, and obviously I had I'd ordered a set of hunting knives for me and my uncle. We're right into my fishing, and we're buying a boat, so we need some good knives to cut rope and that.
It's never been interested in fishing before. I'd like to do magnet fishing. Seen a few programs.
Magnet fishing's not fishing, though. That's just fishing for other folks' shite, isn't it? Other folks' rubbish, really.
I don't know what I think I'd do with a carp fish. I won't be able to touch it, I don't think.
These days you get fish grippers and that. You get actual things that hold the fish and all that for you these days. You don't even need to touch it.
I'd love to be able to. I mean, it's fun. My partner really, really wants to try it. Yeah, that's perfect as well, that statement that you sent.
Well,
thank you for that.
Tell him that the Cajun Scotsman said they definitely should, because fishing's like... People always ask me, oh, why'd you go fishing? It's boring, but... It's not. It's because, like, I can go one day and go to one spot and catch four fish, and then I can hit that spot for a month straight and not catch anything. So
anything.
That tells me, can the fish see me? Does it know my lure? Like, if I go to that other side of that tree, will I catch? Or is that, like, 100
different variables. Basically playing hide and seek with the fishes and stuff.
Yeah, but there's 100 different variables and 100 different techniques that I can use to try and catch the fish. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think it looks boring whatsoever. I just think for me,
it's not boring. You're constantly having to make decisions and constantly having to change.
I mean, especially in summer nights, if a few of you go around and do it and you've got a little barbecue going and you've got a little music playing and obviously have a go with the fish and things like that.
Yeah, I take my dog out a walk and I'll take my little fishing rod in there, and if I go buy a body of water, I've already got it all set up, so I just unclip it and just start casting, and like, you can stand for 10, 15 minutes, an hour, and then just carry on your walk.
That's actually really happy to be happy, to be honest, if you're fishing.
That's really good, because I really enjoy walking anyway, so walking and fishing is two of my favourite things. And my dogs, three.
Kill two birds with one stone. Oh, bless you. What dog is it you've got?
I've got a staff pit. My sister Kelly has the mum and dad, and my sister Lexi has my dog's sister.
Oh, so you keep them all in the family then?
Yeah,
people are pretty controversial with that, but we've got an XL bully at home, and I mean, she's like a big fat bear. She would not say boo to the goose. But my brother's friend and his other friend have got her brother, and they've also got a sister, so we always take them out together and things like that as well.
Brilliant. Aye, that's good. That's really good. All my friends, Zeus and my dog, have puppies as well, and my friends in Glasgow have got the puppies, so he used to get to see his puppies all the time.
Oh, at least they're all in, like, they know each other and things like that, and they're all together. Aye,
they all went to good
homes. Scattered around the world. Well, I'll get your case submitted off now with your siblings, so all three cases will be submitted off. I'm just waiting on a believe, if I am correct. I think it's just the ID for Kelly that I'm waiting on, but she said she'll put that over later on. As soon as I've got her ID, I'll submit that over, but your three other cases are going to be put on the system right away. If there's anything that you need from me over the next few weeks, you bob me a message over. I should be in contact with you in the next 14 days, if not sooner. But if there's anything that you need, even if it's just a quick conversation, have a bit of a chat. I'm not a therapist, but I'm more than happy to talk you through anything and just have a bit of a chat with you. That's not an issue.
Yep.
And also, if there's something that you think you forgot to mention to me, drop me a message over. I can include anything at any time for you. But I do appreciate you going into that topic of conversation with me, because, like I said, it is opening a can of worms there. So if there's anything that
you really
need from me, you do not...
You come across as... Sorry for cutting you off. I'm really bad for that.
Oh, no, don't.
You do come across as very easy to talk to. Do you know what I mean? I felt comfortable the whole time. And
Thank you so much for that.
I don't like talking, but, yeah, like... I've never felt like you've pried or pushed or anything, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just genuine questions and me answering them, which is easy.
Thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate that.
No,
you're welcome.
Very professional.
But like I say, anything I can do to help you throughout this, you bob me a message. And as soon as I've got your update, it should be about 7 days, if I'm honest with you, where I'll be in contact with you. And I'll get you over to the solicitor for your first set of updates once we've got them. And as soon as we've got any updates on your cases, I'll be the first to bob you a message. But if there's anything you need from me, pop me a message over. I'll give you a call straight back and we'll go from there, darling. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's completely perfect, Jeff.
No problem. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Duncan. I'll be updating
you over the next few weeks.
I hope you have a lovely evening now. Go and have a chill, go and rest. And then I will keep you updated once I've got your responses free, darling, okay?
Well, the sun's just come out here for a wee show, so I'm going to take a bit.
Wish it's about to rain, eh?
It was snowing this morning.
Oh, really? I used to always think if in Scotland it always snows, because I know it snows bad up there. So obviously with my nana being down here and things, she'd always get pictures of me, Uncle Frank.
Well, you find yourself that when you live in Glasgow, because
it's inland and it's so much up and down, like Scotland's not flat, it's all hills and like glens. So in the winter, you're going to get snow in Scotland, but mainly up north, like up north or like down south, like the Lake District and
very
stuff.
Thick.
Yeah, where it's flat, really. But Glasgow, I hardly seen any snow in Glasgow when I was there.
Oh, well, I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day. Like I say, go and have a nice bath, or go and have a chill, go and have a brew. Because we've gone through the topic of conversation. Like I say, it's not something for you to obviously nice to think of. So you go and have a chill for the rest of the evening. I will give you an update as soon as I've got your updates through. And like I say, I appreciate everything that you talked to me about today. I really do. And I'll do my side of things to go and get the justice that you deserve, darling. Okay.
Thank you very much, Bella. Yeah, really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye-bye.